I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Us to take the opportunity to learn about his love for mine. Amen. But before that, we were sharing on backsliding. Amen. Backsliding means sliding backwards. Amen. And we were studying how important it is for us as Christians not to backslide, but to continue, isn't it? I think I remember sharing a verse with you from John chapter 8, where Jesus tells us who his real disciples are. Jesus says that it is those who continue who are his disciples indeed, not just those who begin, right? Now, in life, and really with just about everything, rewards are usually tied not to beginning, but to completing what you began. If you go to school, you get your certificate after graduation or at graduation, but you have to finish, isn't it? And you have to finish successfully, you have to finish strong to be able to get what the promise is for going to school. Same thing with many other things. So it's not enough that we start serving the Lord, that we start the Christian race, that we begin to give our lives to Christ. But after we give our lives to Christ, then comes the challenge of enduring and continuing what we have started. Amen. Otherwise, then there is no point in beginning. Because if you're going to begin but not follow through with what you have started such that you can get the reward for doing whatever it is, then there is no point in starting. It's just a waste of time, a waste of your life, a waste of your resources. Amen. So, the devil, knowing that, puts a lot of heat and difficulty in the part that is between starting and finishing. Do you see? And that is why we struggle. So, first, he will try not to allow you to be saved at all. Do you see? Not to allow you to be saved at all. Don't be saved at all. When someone is, approaching you with a tract, a gospel tract or something like that, he will just tell you, throw this away. Drop this now. Right? Yeah, it has COVID on it. Drop it now. You need to drop it now, right? He sees somebody walking towards you who is sharing the gospel. Cross over to the other side. You need to cross over now. Go over to the other side. Avoid this person, you know. And he would try very hard to distract people. I mean, he would distract you and prevent you from getting saved. But as God would have it for many people, sometimes someone is praying for you. Do you see? Sometimes someone is praying for you. And sometimes God is showing you mercy. And because of that person's prayers, or because God is showing you mercy, somehow you are able to bypass the effort of the enemy to get you to remain unsaved. So you are able to, you know, sneak through the enemy's efforts, and somehow salvation hits you. So from that point on, then the battle changes. And the devil now wants you to come back, to slide backwards. And he knows that for many of us, if we take giant steps to go back, we will catch him very quickly. Because we will know and recognize very easily that we are changing, we are backsliding. So he makes it a slow, subtle slide. Just gently sliding backwards without you realizing that you're changing. You see, yes, a long time ago, someone told me that if you drop a frog in hot water, it will jump right out. It will not allow you to boil it, right? But if you drop a frog in water and you slowly heat it, the frog is going to stay in that water. And by the time it realizes what is going on, it would be cooked already. Do you see? Because what happens is that as the temperature is changing, its body also adapts to it. So the body continues to adapt to the temperature change, and it doesn't realize that something is happening. I am changing, or the environment is changing. You know, I guess it's like a normal day. You start in the morning, it's cool, and then the day starts to warm up a little bit. So the frog probably thinks that the day is morning, is warming up. It thinks it's becoming afternoon. Do you see? And it won't realize that this is what is happening, but it's changing slowly. And then soon it realizes it's too late. Do you get it? And that's how the enemy attacks believers. You know, don't have your quiet time today. It's just a slow slide, very small slide backwards. You know, you don't have to go to church today. I mean, you were there last week. You know, you were there last week. Yeah. Last Sunday. That's much better than many Christians, you know. Yeah. So relax. It's just, and you are better than many people anyway. And then he will just remind you of someone maybe you haven't seen in church in a long time. Think about this person. You are so much better than this one. Relax. You're tired. Oh, today it's hot. The weather is very, very hot. You get it? Yes. Did you hear the temperature? They said it was going to go up to 116 today. You know? Yes, it'll be too hot. So just relax. Okay, how about just catch the service on Zoom? Yeah, catch the service on Zoom. And the devil has used Zoom to trap and deceived many Christians completely, because he has you in a place where you engage, but in a real shallow way. Do you see what I'm saying? You're in the service, but you're not listening attentively like you're doing now. Do you get it? Like, it's very unlikely that any of you will get up and go anywhere while I'm preaching. I mean, I'm almost guaranteed that for the next 30 minutes or so, I will be talking and you'll be sitting exactly where you are for at least 30 minutes. True or false? It's very likely. Do you see what I'm saying? There will be no using of the restroom. You will use it after. Do you see? There will be no egg frying. Do you see? Yeah, there will be no breakfast making. Oh, you know, I just want to bring breakfast to where I am so I can relax and enjoy the word. There will be nothing like that. There will be nothing like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And nobody is going to be calling you. No, you will not pick up any call while I'm preaching. At least for the next 30 minutes, if you like, let's just watch. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And it is because we engage with God in such a shallow way that we don't get much out of that online experience. Do you see? Of course, if the pandemic is raging and we're not allowed to meet or whatever, then we have to make do with what we have. Do you see? And actually, I think that the devil was surprised. He wasn't expecting that church would move online. He thought that by launching the virus the way he did, he was going to kill gatherings. Do you see? Yes, kill gatherings, most Christian gatherings. And to his surprise, the Lord led his people down another alley, which is online, and probably didn't expect that it will work. And so then he had to come up with a new strategy. I can imagine how the demons were rejoicing and saying, now COVID shut down. I think our last service was March 15th. I remember that. March 15th of 2020, right? Yes. And I can imagine how the demons were rejoicing and very happy. They thought there would be no service March 22nd, March 29th, and so on. And to his surprise, the churches went online. So one of the demons even took the day off on Sunday. I mean, he wasn't even, I mean, he was still sleeping. When another one who had woken up by accident came to bang on his door and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. I mean, turn on your television and see. The guys have gone on Zoom. So what? Zoom? What, are they having a business conference? What? No, church service. Well, no, you got to be kidding. So he got out of his bed and he saw the church. Hey! These people, yeah. So then they had a demons conference where they began to discuss. They said, look, the thing has failed. In fact, the church has rather gone on steroids. I mean, the whole thing, now they are having international services. They are having dancing stars from Madagascar combined with a choir from the UK, another choir from North America, another choir from Switzerland. I mean, that people are seeing the church and they are becoming more established. I mean, their pastor, those who had never even met their pastor have met him. We need to change all of this. We need to change all of this. So they began to strategize. How are we going to get these people to fail at this thing? Then someone said, did you say internet? Yeah. Then the other person said, yes. So, oh, internet, that's easy. Internet is the marketplace. Did you say there are services on Facebook? Ah, that's the place. That's right near our game field. That's where we play. All our things are there. Yes. So it means for the first time, right next to the preaching,
We can have, you know, those videos of people, you know, dancing in for their wedding receptions. We start from there. You get it? That's not so bad. We start from there. And then we're going to go from there to see other people's photos. We're going to see wrestling. We're going to see fights. We're going to see, what else is on Facebook? What? Soccer highlights. And then we're going to see people advertising products, isn't it? And then what else? It's all there. It's all there. It's like bringing the market into the church. The demons just clapped for the man. They just started to clap. They said, you're a very smart demon.
Yes.
That's what's been going on. The key of distraction. Let's distract them. Let's distract them. Yes. So you see people are in church, but they're, you know, the church is on their iPad. You get it? And they themselves are on the phone. Do you get it? Yes. And they're just there. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why people don't want you to see their face when they're, you know. Yes. Yeah. And even the fact that you can be in church without much preparation to be in church. Do you see what I'm saying? Because this kind of coming to church, waking up, fixing your face, fixing your hair, brushing your teeth, doing a shower, you know, ironing and all of that, you know, they are all ways of showing what God means to you. Do you get it? Yes. Because it's a price you pay to be or to come and see God. And after that, even driving this far distance to come and see God, or for the sake of meeting God's people, his fellowshipping with his children, I mean, it means something. Do you get it? And God responds to such things. Because we all like it when someone takes the trouble to do whatever they do for us. You see, one time some people gave David some free animals, you know, and they recommended that he should use them for sacrifice for the Lord. You know, just free animals. And David said, no. I can't use these free animals to make any sacrifice for God. He said, I can't offer anything to God that doesn't cost me anything. Because it's not just that I gave something to God. You know, you can give something to someone which means nothing to you. Do you get it? So if indeed God is a searcher of hearts and God is a seer of hearts, then God sees very quickly that what you just gave him, the alternative use is garbage. That if he didn't take it, the next place is that you put it in the garbage. Don't we all have things like that we don't have any use for? I mean, you have a pair of shoes, nice as they are. They don't fit. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, they don't fit. So when you give them to someone, you don't feel anything. You don't feel a pinch. There's no sacrifice in it. There's nothing. You don't feel anything. And yet, because it's a pair of shoes, to that person, it's like, you know, that this is something. That's what you think. But you see, it works with people, but not with God. Because people don't know how you got it, and people don't know why you are giving it to them. Do you see what I'm saying? But God knows how you got it. He was right there. So David told the guy, no. I will buy, you see, the same animals that you're giving to me, but I will give you money for it. I will buy them off you, do you see? Because I can't give anything to God that doesn't cost me anything. It's not like David had money that he didn't have any use for. You get it? Or that he was just happy. In fact, there's nobody who's just happy throwing money around. No, that's not what it is. But what he was saying is that the quality of the sacrifice is affected. The quality of the encounter with God is affected by the price you paid to have that encounter. Do you get it? Yes. It's affected by it. That if we only serve God because it is convenient, then you will find that we will not get much out of the experience, because God is sought and found by those who diligently seek him. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. In fact, the Bible says he's a God who hides himself. God loves privacy. Amen. So those who find him are those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Look at that verse. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Can you see that? Yes. So God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God has plans for each of our lives. And God says, if you follow me, you will never be disappointed. Yes. God has no plans of leaving any of us disappointed. I have thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. And they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. That means your end will not be a disappointment. Say, I will not be a disappointment. Say it again. Say, I will not be a disappointment. Yeah, say, contrary to the devil's expectation, I will not be a disappointment. My life will not be a disappointment. Hallelujah. Amen. I will give you an expected end. That's what the Lord says. But look at the next verse. Verse 12. He says, for... Verse 12. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Right? So it means that God's plans for us don't just happen. Do you understand? That because you know he has good thoughts towards you, not to give you an expected end, then he's expecting that you follow that with seeking him. I mean, you know, my wife just returned from her trip. Now, if she told you after church that she has something for you, or if she gave you a call before you came to church this morning, that she brought something from someone for you. Do you see? Yeah. Hey. I hope you brought something for everybody, because people have received it already. Do you get it? Yes. And those of you who have connections, you know, and have friends and so on in Ghana, and if she says she brought something from these people for you, do you see? It could easily even be why you would be in church today. Isn't it? Yes. Because something important is being brought to you, and so you make the effort to come. So you see, when someone says, I have something that belongs to you, what they are putting on you is the onus to seek them. Do you get it? Yes, they are placing on you the burden, if you like, of seeking them. They want you to come after them. That's their job, is to tell you they have something that belongs to you. After that, it's your job to make the arrangement to get that thing that belongs to you. You see, so I would have expected that right after the service, you would be, you know, making your way towards her. You know, oh, lady pastor, we missed you, you know. Just a way of connecting to your goods. She better have something for us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. So you would expect, and she would expect, that you would come after her for what she has announced belongs to you. Do you see? So when someone says, back to 11, please, he says, well, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then he's expecting that your next action would be what he's recommending in verse 12, which is that you will go, verse 12, please, that ye shall call upon me. Do you see? And you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Yes. So God is expecting that because you know the plans he has for you, you will seek him and you will pray. Because he told you that he has plans to give you an expected end. So it's not enough just to say, I will not be a disappointment. That is true. But from saying, I will not be a disappointment, then the next thing is to take steps and start to pray towards not being a disappointment. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, because if you don't, that's when the devil gets to be called a thief, because he must be stealing something to be called a thief. Do you get it? And if he's stealing it, then it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to someone. So someone may not get to be what they must become because the thief stole it. Does it make sense? Right. But then, after you start praying to him, look at it, verse 13. He shows us how to seek him. And he says in verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Can you see that? You seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what? All your heart. Do you get it? So when we seek God in ways or through media that does not permit full engagement with him, you don't find him. Even though you went seeking him. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So that is the reason why, and this is why being in church has an advantage over just watching the service. Because, you know, when you are watching the service, you place yourself under greater temptation to be distracted, to do other things, to walk around, you know, to go upstairs, come back downstairs, you know, go outside. Even you be in the service and you're washing your car. You put bring the iPad. Brother Moses, he thinks he's leading praise and worship outside, and then you put it here, right there. You get it, and this is just the church is there, you know. And then you do the virtual background, yes. Yes, and then you just be washing, you know. Yeah, just washing the rim and just, you know, and that is it. You see what I'm saying? And when you search for God with part of your heart, you don't find part of God. He says, you seek me and find me when you do it with all your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? So I realize what we need to do is to learn how to seek God. You know, even if you're going to spend a shorter time with the Lord, where you will be fully engaged with him, it will be far more fruitful than to spend a longer time when you are not engaged with him. Are you getting the picture? Yes, it will be far more fruitful than that. Do you see? So I want to encourage all of you. I mean, this is all just a side journey from my message. But yeah, I'm just saying that let's be serious with God so that we can engage him more deeply.
Do you get it? Many of the things that distract us in church, sometimes phone calls, sometimes text messages, these are all things that can wait. What if you were on a plane? You get it? Yeah. What if, I haven't seen anybody make a phone call on a plane. Do you see? Yeah. What if you were on the plane? Would it not wait? It would wait. What about if you're in an area where there's no reception? Yes, the calls just naturally wait when there's no reception. When you're driving through these hills and so on, and there's no reception. There's just no reception. That's it. It's just no reception. Do you see? And you accept it, and you drop the phone somewhere. At that point, you don't even care that the battery is dead or whatever. I mean, there's just no reception. There's just no reception. That's it. So why can't it be that someone is calling you, and I'm just not available. I'm just not available. I'm in church. That's it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. There's no reception. I'm in church. I'm with the Lord. I'm in the house of the Lord. Just like some of you have jobs where you can't really talk on the phone, isn't it? Yes. You have jobs where you can't, and that's 4 hours, 5 hours at a time. Well, yeah, so let's say during the break you get to do that. So 4 or 5 hours at a time, then another 4 or 5 hours. Isn't it? Yes. And you can't get on the phone. You can't talk to anybody. And all you do is focus on the thing that pays you. Do you see? And you think because it pays you, it is worth it. Do you get it? Now, what pays you more than your relationship with God? It is worth any distraction that we shut out for the sake of connecting deeply with him. And the depth of the connection is what determines how much you can get out of him. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Because sometimes you see you can dip your straw in something, but it's not deep enough, so you're not getting anything out of it. You see, but you're in, the straw is in the can. And everyone can see your mouth on the straw, and everyone thinks you are getting something. But you are just practicing religion. Yeah. Do you see? Because your straw hasn't touched the cork. And because of that, all you're drawing is bringing out nothing but air. That's how we make airy Christians. Hallelujah. So we are talking about backsliding, and we are saying that we need to be careful that we follow through with what we've started, and we must engage deeply with it in order to be blessed by the relationship with God. Amen. Yeah, right. Now, we talked about different descriptions, 7 different descriptions of backsliders, right? The first one is exchanging fountains for broken cisterns, right? Exchanging fountains. A backslider is like somebody who is trading a fountain for, you know, a container that is broken. Do you see, right? Who would do that? Nobody wants. A fountain has fresh water, you know, and that's supposed to be better than water that's been sitting in some cistern, which is even broken in the first place. You see, another one is becoming a degenerate wild vine. Degenerate wild vine. Okay? Like you plant something and then you have other things growing out of whatever you thought you had planted, you know, and you have other things growing. There's a story of someone in the Bible who planted good seed. And the Bible says when he went to bed and woke up, he found bad seed growing up. And he was shocked and was asking, did we not plant good seed here? How come it has turned into this. And when people backslide, that's how God sees it. God just looks at them and he's just thinking, I thought you were a good seed. What happened to you? Do you understand? What happened to you? How did you just turn into this? And sometimes you see people who are running well. They start well and they're moving on smoothly. And then suddenly something just happens and you just see how people just become. And you just wonder, what happened? What happened? Do you get it? And that's the description we have here of a backslider. Then the next one is becoming a wild, a wild donkey, right? Do you have that? Yes, becoming a wild camel first. Yes, a wild camel. Becoming a wild camel, then the next one is becoming a wild donkey, right? Yes, wild donkey that you can't tame, following its own heart and following its own desires and going all over the place. When something is wild, it means it's not tamed. You don't tell it what to do. Do you get it? Yes. See, when you have a dog, you see, that's a tamed animal that's in the house. It has a breakfast time, has, you know, regulated lunches and dinners and all of that. But when you have wild animals, they don't have breakfast time. You get it? You can't arrange breakfast for the squirrels like when we go on outreach, those guys. Yeah, there's nothing like it's their breakfast time. They eat constantly because they don't know when the next meal. Yes. There are these wild geese on the golf course, I tell you. I mean, constantly they are eating. Non-stop. They eat and they eat and they eat and they eat because the language in the wild is, you don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Yes. So you have to eat. So their lives are not regulated. There's nothing like when it's 3 o'clock, you see them here or that you see it. No, they just move around and they just follow their hearts. And when a person is backsliding, God says, that's how you are. You get, it's Sunday morning. No one can even tell that you'll be in church. It's prayer time on floor. You'll be somewhere else. You can never tell where a backslider is because he's wild. He's not tame. She's wild, and she's basically following the desires of her heart, and it won't take them wherever it leads them. Do you see? The other one, next one, is a lady who forgets her ornaments. A lady who forgets her ornaments. You see, now ladies are into ornaments. Ladies mostly have jewelry and so on. You see, and the Bible says that when people backslide, they are like a lady who has forgotten her ornaments. You know, Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, it says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Can a maid forget her ornaments? Then, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You see, so when we forget God, we are like someone or a lady who has forgotten her ornaments. You see, or the next one, which is a bride who has forgotten her attire. That is even more ridiculous. Yes, you just might find a lady who is not wearing any ornaments because of her beliefs. or some theories that, someone has put in their head. So they don't believe in, ornaments or decoration. Otherwise, from as young as these two pretty ladies here, they start to have ornaments. Yes, they start to have ornaments. They dress up and then they accessorize. and they add something here, something there, just to enhance something. You know, it's part of the beauty of being a lady. Yeah, I think so, yes. Enhances things they can wear, put on their head. I saw, I don't know if it was one of these little girls. I saw a picture of the person with a headgear, something like that. And she looked very pretty, you know. Only girls can do that. You see, yeah. So it's okay for girls to do it because it's part of the sweetness. You see what I'm saying? Yes. But when you are without them, God says that's how you look when you forget him. You look like someone who is without ornaments. But even worse is when you begin to be compared with a bride that forgot her attire. She forgot her attire. It was her wedding day, and she showed up wearing jeans. And because she forgot the attire. She didn't forget the ceremony, just the attire. Yeah. It's how is that? She forgot. So when she got there, then somebody asked, "What's going on?" And she said, "Oh! I went to do my hair, and when I finished, I forgot." No, impossible. What would rather likely happen is that the bride went to do her hair. Her wedding was at 1. She showed up at the saloon at 11. And she did her hair till 1. And then she had the option of going straight from the saloon to the wedding as she was, or to go home and wear the dress and come late. And she said, "Of course, I'm going to go home." And so she goes home. It's 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's 5 o'clock. And everybody's waiting, and we don't have a choice. It's her day. That's why we've come there. Whenever she shows up, we're going to have to wait. That's the way weddings go. Do you see what I'm saying? Because no matter what, the bride must wear her attire. That's what makes her the bride. It sets her apart from everyone else. It makes her beautiful. It puts her and presents her in her glory. She can't do without it. So she will go for the attire. You know, one day I followed a bride somewhere. She had someone, I think, alterating or fixing the attire for her, the bridal, you know, the dress. Yes, and she took it to an adventurous person who decided to have an adventure with it. The person cut green leaf patterns and sewed them into the into the wedding gown. Is it a wedding gown or dress? Yeah. It's a gown. Okay. Yeah. So when she went to see the lady, the gown that she was expecting to be white was now green and white. I tell you. And you know, Tori, she had they had the patches everywhere. Well, that's exactly what she did. She started crying and stormed out of the woman's house. I was giving her a ride, and I was waiting outside in the car. Then she came, she stormed out of the woman's house. She came, she sat in the car, and it was hot, so I had the windows open, in fact, the doors open, and I had my hand, you know, somewhere at the back there, and I was just, you know, playing music and just tapping the thing like that. This lady just came into the car, very angry. She stormed into the car and she shut the door on my thumb. So I am the one that received her funeral. I'll never forget that day. It hurt so bad. I could not even scream. You know, have you been there before? The thing hurt so much, you know. You just. So I was just telling her, the door, and she couldn't get it. So when she eventually understood it, and she opened it, and my thumb was flat, actually. But somehow, it came back. Yeah. You know? So it was, of course, she was very sorry. So it cooled her down. It brought her from here. And then as we went along the way, she was very quiet. What was going on? That's when she told us that the woman has sewn all these green patches into her dress. And the wedding was the next day. You know, it was terrible. You know, so she had walked out. She told the woman to remove all those things. And she was going to come back later in the day to pick up the dress. You know, and that's when I got to suffer a fury. Yes. But what it means is that a bride will not joke with her dress. So God said, well, have you seen him? He was trying to let people understand. Is there anything I can compare, you know, our relationship with? Then he thinks, okay, maybe a bride. He says, when my people forget me, it's like a bride who has forgotten her dress. Something that you need so much. Something that is so necessary for calling you a bride. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. But I don't think that's how we feel about God. That God is like oxygen we can't do without. So he said, I'm surprised that my people have forgotten me. Like, I can't even count the number of days. Days without number. Yeah. Haven't been to church in so many days. Haven't prayed on their own even in so many days. Have forsaken the fellowshipping of an assembling of ourselves together for so many days. Days without number, you can't even count. Uncountable number of days. And God says, no, it's not possible. And yet, his people have done it. Hallelujah. Then the next description he gives us is, the next description is a lover playing the harlot. Right? A lover playing the harlot. A lover who now has multiple partners or is selling her body. And God says, when my people go away from me, when they start to backslide, they are like a lover who is selling her body. Now, people don't like it. Lovers don't like being cheated on. Is that true or false? Yes. Even if you didn't get any money for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And it's much worse when they are getting money for it. And God said, that's what it is. Whatever you are getting, do you see, for forsaking God, whatever you're getting, whether it's some pleasure, it's some entertainment, it's some sport, or whatever, maybe even more sleep. You see, but whatever you are getting, that is the pay you are getting for playing the harlot. And God is saying that my people have done that. And that's their hearts are turned away from me. And they are playing the harlotry with so many different things. Amen. And it breaks his heart. Because it will break your heart. Cheating always hurts. Yes, it hurts. It makes people do all sorts of things. Some people will even kill their partner because they cheated on them. Do you see? Yes. And this time, God said, not only with one, the person is playing the harlot with many lovers. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 1. They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, and yet return to me again, says the Lord. Do you see? Yes. And God says, when this happens in normal life, it produces a pollution. It causes the land to be polluted. Do you see? Yes. And yet in relation to me, it's being done, and it is the same pollution that occurs in our lives. Except that when it comes to the Lord, we get to return to him. Do you see? We get to return to him in repentance and say, Lord, I realize I have strayed. I realize I've gone far. I realize I've gone away from you, and I'm coming back to you. Hallelujah. Then the last one is like a dog that has gone back to its vomit. Eating your own vomit. Do you see? That is the last description of backsliding. That when God's people backslide, they are like a dog that has gone back to eat what it threw out. Hallelujah. Now, what are the causes of backsliding? What are the causes of backsliding? Let me give you a couple and then we'll close. Hallelujah. Now, the first one is shallowness. Shallowness. People backslide because they are shallow. Shallow. That means they are not deep. Amen. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 is where Jesus shares with all of us the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is a story that Jesus told the people to illustrate the effect of the word, or the varying effects of the word on people, the varying degrees to which the word affects people. Hallelujah. And one category is this one. He says, they on the rock, well, maybe we can go back a little bit. Go back to the beginning of this story and let's read it. I'm not sure which verse that will be, but just where, verse 11. That's the explaining the parable, okay? But let's read about the parable itself. So let's start with the parable, okay? So five. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Can you see that? And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Then other fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So what he's saying is that what even though I've just told you a story, that there's more to it, do you see? And if you want to know, I'll explain, okay? So jump from there to verse 11, where he begins to explain the parable. He said, now the parable is this. I think we have a song like that. Do we? Yeah? DJ, do you know how to sing the sower? You don't know how to sing that song. Okay, you should learn it. All right? Now listen, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So the seed that is being sown is the word of God. Every time we're hearing the word is a seed being sown. As I'm preaching this afternoon, a seed is being sown. Do you see what I'm saying? A seed is being sown as I'm preaching. Now, the next verse says that those by the wayside are they that hear, Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Wow. What it means is that the word of God has the power to save us from situations as well. Apart from saving your soul, you know, the word of God can save your life. The word of God can save your life. The word of God can save your finances. The word of God can save you from any kind of disaster. It can save your life from destruction. It can save your marriage. It can save your life and save and bless your life. Look at it. It says the devil doesn't want them to believe lest they be saved. Can you see that? So he comes to take the word out of their hearts. Say, the devil will not steal the word today. Say, devil, you will not steal the word. Say it again. Say, devil, you will not steal the word. Amen. He says the devil comes and he taketh the word away out of their hearts. That's why people don't remember what the preaching was about. Yeah. You ask people, were you in church today? Yes, what did the pastor preach? What I know is it was really powerful. Yeah. And they don't remember the subject. They don't remember anything. Do you see? And some time ago, we used to write notes and so on. But these days, people just, you know, they just follow the screen. And then they'll just be watching. And just be watching. Do you see? And they go out of church with nothing. They just don't remember anything. I'll encourage all of you to practice the habit of writing notes during preaching. Do you understand? Yes. Practice the habit of writing notes when there's preaching going on. It keeps you, if nothing at all, it will keep you awake. Do you understand? Yes, it keeps you alert, it keeps you sharp, and then it makes you go over, because to write something means you are repeating it in your mind. Yes, and you sort of make an effort, because as I'm speaking, I'm not repeating what I'm saying. So to write it means you have to recollect what I just said. You see what I'm saying? And it forces the thing to remain with you. So write notes. That's one of the ways I get blessed by preaching. But when I'm just writing, I write a lot of notes when I'm listening to preaching. And that helps me a lot to remember what was preached, even if I didn't read the notes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So do that. So the devil taketh away the word out of the hearts of people. Devil, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Yes. Takes the word out of the hearts of people. But look at the next one. The next category of seeds are the ones on the rock. And the ones on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Hallelujah. It says that in time of temptation, they fall away. Amen. These are those on the rock. Now, God wants us to have roots. Notice that he says, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. We are talking about backsliding. And the Bible is saying that the cause of backsliding or falling away is that the people have no roots. The word does not take root in them. Things don't go into them deeply. Now, if you're a Christian without roots, you will fall away. You will fall away in time of temptation. You will fall away in times of the storm. I believe one of the reasons why God gives roots to trees is to give them a way of gripping the ground instead of trying to stop the storm. Do you see? Yes, it's a way of holding on to the ground, because storms are a part of life. Do you see? Temptations, difficulties, challenging situations, they are just a part of life. There is no life except the life that has ended that is excused from storms. The only people that are excused from experiencing a storm are those at the morgue, in the funeral home. But storms are a part of life. There's a storm in every area of life. There's a storm at work. There's a storm at school. There's a storm that shows up at home. There's a storm that shows up between friends. There's a storm that shows up anywhere, anytime a storm can pop up. And the way to survive the storm is to have roots. You need to be deep. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yes, you need to be deep. And unfortunately, many Christians are not deep at all. They are shallow. Everything they know is what the pastor said. Yes. And you can just hear them saying all the time, my pastor said, my pastor said. It's okay to quote your pastor from time to time. I mean, if you're going to quote Barack Obama and quote Donald Trump and Albert Einstein and Al Sharpton. Do you know Al Sharpton? Yes. If you're going to quote all these people, you might as well add your pastor.
Why not?
Yeah.
If they're all worth quoting, if they all said something that is meaningful to you, do you see what I'm saying? Then you might as well quote your pastor too. So it's okay to quote your pastor, but your pastor is not the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So what would even be better is to quote the word on which the pastor based what he said. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, because whatever the pastor said, like this morning, I'm saying we must have roots. What would be nicer is if you can quote this verse. Do you see? And not just go around saying, you know, Apostle Joel said we must have roots. Apostle Joel said we must have roots. Yes, I said we must have roots, but it's not I who is saying you must have roots. The word of God says you must have roots. So what you should rather be saying is that the word of God says we must have roots. Otherwise, the enemy will come and say. And you can see here, you can see that because they have roots, but the roots are not, they are not deep. Do you get it? Yes. And because of that, the devil could not steal it. They lost it some other way. Which is that he had to use temptation to get them to fall away. Whereas in the previous case, he just came and came to pick it. But in this second case, they had to have some temptation. Hallelujah. You must survive temptations as a Christian. A Christian must survive temptation to fornicate, temptation to lie, temptation to steal, all the things you used to do as an unbeliever, you must survive the temptation. The temptations will come and we have to survive them. Do you see what I'm saying? The word endure is one of the words associated with Christianity. That things happen, but you survive them. The wind passes, it blows on you, you probably bend a little bit in the direction of the wind of anger, the wind of frustration. It's taking you down a certain direction and you find yourself leaning in that direction. There's nothing wrong with it. But when the wind passes, God is expecting you to come back like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, God is expecting you to come back. He's not expecting you to remain bent like this because once upon a time, a wind passed this way. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. What backsliders do is that they remain stuck in the position that the wind placed them in. But you can bounce back. You know, when the wind starts blowing, go outside and watch the trees. I tell you, you see them shaking. You see them shaking, and it looks like they're going to go down. But there are many trees that survive. It takes sometimes the wildest of storms to break a tree or to pull it down. Otherwise, the normal winds of life, and you can see that the wildest of storms don't happen every day. If we were having hurricanes every day, man, there would be no Louisiana. Yeah. But Louisiana is still Louisiana, and they are alive. It tells you there's not a hurricane every day. There's nobody who is having a hurricane every day in his life. Yes, but we all have daily winds. Do you see? We all have daily winds that blow in our lives. Winds that, you know, threaten things that are standing in our lives. And sometimes the winds force us to conform in a certain way, and we find ourselves bending this way towards the direction that the wind is blowing. But when the wind is over, you should be able to bounce back. Can I have an amen? Yes. Don't lose your life to the winds. Don't lose your faith to the winds. Learn to bounce back. And to be able to do that, you have to stand your ground. You have to be deep. And you have to not be a shallow Christian. A shallow Christian usually doesn't know the Word of God. A shallow Christian usually doesn't know what the Bible is saying. They only know what the pastor said, like I said earlier. Only what the pastor said. But become a Christian who knows the Word for yourself. Hallelujah. You must have your own personal convictions that you got from reading the Bible. Do you get it? You must have your own personal revelations that you get from reading things in the Bible. Not only what the pastor preaches, but when the pastor preaches, you need to go back and go deeper so that what the pastor taught is established in you. Are you following what I'm saying? Even you need to check to see whether what the pastor said is in the Bible at all. Amen. And you need to be able to know where to find it and know how to refer to it. Look at this scripture in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17. The Bible talks about some believers. You know, some believers in a place called Berea. You know. And it says that these believers, they were special. Acts 17 and verse 11. You know, it says that these believers were special believers because these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Wow, isn't that beautiful? This is the Bible way to receive Christian messages. Do you get it? Yeah. You are supposed to receive. You see, some people swing all the way to the other side. As for me, I don't receive from men. You know? Yes, there are some people like that. Oh, you haven't seen or heard someone say that? Yeah. I don't allow any human being to teach me. The pastor is a man. I know God for myself. You know, when you do that, you are swinging all the way to the other one side. You get it? Then you have those who are also on the other extreme. The only thing they know is what the pastor said. The pastor is their God. The pastor himself is their word of God. You see? And that's also not good. But this is where God wants us to be. God wants us to receive the word, then search the scriptures ourselves to confirm and find what we have received, and then that word is established in us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It's like the process of eating. You bring the food to your mouth, then your there's action in your mouth, a combination of your teeth and your tongue. They research what is in your mouth. You get it? Yes. They research what is in your mouth, and then they like it. Then they admit it inside. Once it goes down there, it is now a part of you, and it will not come out except it has accomplished that for which it was sent. Do you see what I'm saying? Whatever is in it, whether it's vitamin A or whatever vitamins it has, you know, whatever nutrient it has to contribute to your life, it will not leave without contributing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. But on the other hand, you put something in your mouth, your teeth start to grind on it, your tongue, who is the chief inspector, you know, does its little research around the thing, and then, you know, the taste buds, they have a quick little conference. The teeth said, this thing is too hard. The taste buds said, doesn't taste too good. The tongue says, Then what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to reject it, regardless of who put it in your mouth. You're not supposed to let it form a part of your system just because it entered your mouth. And that's how people die. They die because they didn't research the thing well enough, or they didn't trust what they were sensing as they researched it, or they didn't do themselves the favor of spewing it out. And so they swallowed it. And you see, the only control you have over what you eat is before you swallow it. Once you swallow it, it will perform that for which it was sent. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see? Yes. A lot of people are watching the performance of ice cream. So you get it? Because once it goes down, it will do what it was sent to do. Do you get it? But we are supposed to research it. You know, I've been preaching to you this morning. I've been mentioning some verses. What you must do is to go back home today and go through the verses I read. Do you get it? Starting from Jeremiah. You know, see whether you see what I showed you from the scripture. See if you can see it. Do you see that in the Bible? You get it? Yes. If you don't see it, fine. Throw it somewhere. You get it? Yes. If you don't see it, just throw it away somewhere. Amen. Yes. But if you do see that the Bible says you are a more noble Christian when you are the type that receives the word, not with skepticism, not as it says, they received it. You see, you are not challenging the preacher. What I'm talking about is not the same as what some people do. Some people are very evil. They are just skeptics who they come to church to challenge the word. Yes, and Jesus had a lot of such people. They would even ask a question, and the Bible says they asked him this question, tempting him. You get it? It wasn't like they wanted to know. It was not a quest for knowledge. It was a trap for the preacher. They wanted to ask the question, you know, so that Jesus would give them a certain answer that they can carry away and use that to accuse him. I remember one day I finished preaching and a lady walked up to me and stood right here. You know, this is my little office, you know, air conditioned, free, little office. The lady came to stand here. She talked to me for about 1 hour, asking me all sorts of questions about the word and about the church and everything. And I answered patiently all her questions. She was so excited. And, you know, the more she looked excited, the more I was energized to answer more questions. And I spoke to her, talked to her about our church and everything, you know. And then she left. The next day or two, somebody called me and told me, you know that lady you were talking to? That lady, she used to have a daughter who would come to church, you know. And she came just to see where her daughter had been coming to church. And she told the other person that she's not going to allow her daughter to come to our church ever again. Why? She said, I spoke to the pastor myself for 1 hour after church, and I now know that it's an evil church. So I started to wonder, what must I have told this woman for her to think such thoughts? She obviously wasn't looking for the word. No. The questions she asked me, which I don't remember now, but the questions she asked me and the biblical answers I gave her were not what she was seeking at all. She was hoping that I would agree with certain things and rather I would, you know, support certain things. And when I didn't, you know, she was upset and she left. Do you get it? But, well, I guess such people, you know, if you don't want the word, you shouldn't come to a church like ours. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. You know, and let me tell you something. You develop an attitude where you embrace the word of God, even if you are struggling with what it's saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Even if you struggle with it, you know, it's like medication. You believe in it even though you don't like it. Do you get it? Yes. You see, there are some people like that. They don't like medicine. I mean, and you see, they'll take the pills. They'll be holding it, you know, the whole evening. They'll just have the pills with them, you know. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah. Raise your hand if you know someone like that. Yeah, I know someone like that. A very close relative of mine who's a member of this church. You get it? And they keep holding the pill. Like it's like they are wishing it will get lost. It looks like the way they're handling the pill, if the pill was to fall to the ground, they'll be happy. Yes, and the pill is not going anywhere. You get it? And the thing is then they keep on holding it and holding it and holding it and holding it. You get it? Yes, what I'm saying is that you are a believer in the pill. It's just the swallowing it. It's just... If there was another way for it to enter your body, you wouldn't mind at all. Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And sometimes we are like that with the word of God. You don't doubt it. You believe it. If the Bible says fornication is not good, do not fornicate. The Bible says flee fornication. Don't say that the Bible doesn't say that. Do you get it? Rather, you admit that this is what the Bible says. Do you see? Yes. And then maybe tell yourself something else. You get it? And come to the Lord and pray. Lord, this is my problem. You get it? This is my problem, Lord. Please help me. Help me. Help me. And you will see, if as you pray genuinely about things, you find that God will take you out of that situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So don't meet the word with arguments and skepticism. So these people, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind, you see. And then they searched the scriptures daily, do you see, whether those things were so. That's your contribution. Do you get it? Because things that you find in the word yourself are things that remain with you. Yes, when you discover it in the word yourself, it goes nowhere. And what a pastor does is a pastor gives you a lead. That's the word of God. A pastor, a preacher's job is to give you a lead. He gives you like a little taster, like when you go to the mall, you go to the mall, and you go by the Asian walk place, right? See those people who have the toothpick with the little General Charles chicken, you know, yes. And you go this way and you take one, and then you turn around and come back and take the second one, you know. And then you walk this way again and take the third one. And then you come back and try the garlic chicken, and then you go back and try the Beijing beef. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. What they are trying to do is not to feed you. They are trying to tease your taste buds so that you can approach the counter and eat much more of what they have offered you for yourself. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what we're saying. And that's how to overcome shallowness. Do you see what I'm saying? You become deep in the word, you become rooted in the word, you become solid in the word, because the pastor gave you the teaser, but then you went beyond the pastor and ate the real thing. Do you see? And when you ate the real thing, you find yourself full of it and bursting with it. That's how things stay in us. That's how you become a solid Christian. Can I have an amen? So I'll close by saying, be determined not to be a shallow Christian. Amen. Be a Christian of the word. Amen. When you come to church and you hear the word of God, be one of these noble believers, you see, and go back. And first of all, he says, noble Christians, what do? They receive the word with all readiness of mind, right? Yes. McKenna, do you have another version? Give us another version of this verse quickly before we wrap up. Okay. They receive the word with what? Readiness of mind. They receive the word with all readiness of mind. Hallelujah. Right? Okay. And then what happened? Okay, these people, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. Amen. Yes. So I tell people, you know, I meet a lot of people. I feel one time somebody was I don't know, this church, they talk about loyalty, and I feel something. I said, you know what? You shut up. Nobody's going anywhere with your feelings. What I need you to do is to bring me scriptures. Yes. Come with scriptures. Come and show me why loyalty is not a biblical message. And then I'll yield. If you can show me, I will. That's it. Because me too, I'm trying to be noble and open-minded, isn't it? Yes, I'm trying to be a Berean. Yes. You see the thing? Yes, that's all I'm trying to be. So if you can show me, after all, I didn't grow up understanding loyalty. Someone showed me, and I believed it. So if you think otherwise, bring your scriptures, and then we'll flow with it. Don't just get up and don't listen to anybody who is just talking and say, I feel. I mean, you feel, what else do you feel? Cold? When you feel cold, are we supposed to follow that too? And when you feel hot, are we supposed to feel hot too? What are you talking about? How can you govern our whole Christian experience with your feelings? Stop talking about your feelings and talk the word of God. Yes, open the scriptures. Point to scripture after scripture. I don't like the church. I don't like, you know, I don't like. It's just one of many things you don't like blue dresses. Doesn't mean anything at all. Doesn't mean anything at all. Amen. Let's go to the Bible. Let's believe the Bible. Do you understand? And let's research the Bible so we can be deep and solid. Not arrogant, because that again swings you to the far side. Do you understand? Yes. So not arrogantly religious. And you see some people like that too. They are very arrogant. And it's not like they even have any scriptures. You see, they don't have any real scriptures. But they are just arrogant. As for me, I don't let... You see, and the things they say, they make sense. They make sense. You see, they appeal to the intellect. The pastor is just a man. We are not supposed to be worshiping man. We must worship God. Do you see? You get it? But God gives his word to men. Do you understand? And every high priest exactly is from among men. God uses men. God speaks through men. Do you know anything anyone gets in life without going through a human being? There's nothing you can have. And yet all the things we get through men, the Bible says they are from above. John 3:27, the Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given to him. So even though a man handed it to you, it came from God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So we have to, all we have is human vessels that God will use to bless us. Do you understand? But God has given us also the burden of researching the things that we are taught so that we don't just follow things because our pastor said. So, do you get it? When a pastor preaches and you don't see what he's saying in the scriptures or can't even find other scriptures to support it, you're supposed to discard it. Just like you bought food that didn't quite taste like you wanted it to taste, you throw it away. And that doesn't mean you don't eat that food ever again. It's just this Chinese didn't work. This one, this afternoon, it didn't work. But it doesn't mean you're through with Chinese food. No. Amen. So anyway, our time is up. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. I hope you're blessed. Amen. Tell somebody, don't be a shallow Christian. Connect deeply. Tell somebody, have roots. Amen. So that when the storms and the winds blow, you survive. It's like sitting in a car and strapping yourself. You get it? Then when the vehicle is shaking, you'll still be around. Do you see what I'm saying? Otherwise, you'll be tossed out of your seat. You see? Yes, over something small or even a crisis that you go through in your life can dislodge you. But God's plan is not that our crisis and our problems and our difficulties will dislodge us. You shake a little bit, but your seat belt will hold you. You know, you should try it. You should try it. Sometimes you have not had an experience with the seat belt, so you don't even know what it does. Yeah, most of us don't even know how the seat belt works other than how to. Yes. But sit in your car this afternoon and throw yourself forward suddenly and see what it does. Do you get it? Yes, just sit in your car, strap yourself, and then move suddenly like the way it would be in an accident you don't expect. Do you get it? Not slowly. Pastor said I should do it, so you are testing it then slowly. Those seat belts, they are intelligent. When you start moving slowly, they know you are testing them. Yes, when you start moving slowly, they'll just follow you all the way till you hit the front. Yes. They swing into action when you surprise them. Yeah. So sit down, strap yourself, and then just move. You'll be surprised. It will just sit down here. That's what the seatbelt does. Hold you back. Hallelujah.
we need to be strapped in to the faith so that different situations, there's a pandemic, shouldn't be the end of your Christian life. No. You get it? Yes. So the new thing is now people have to add a mask to go to church. Get them in colors to match your clothes. Yes, to match your outfits. Because when I went to Ghana, you know, I saw some people selling some clothes, you know, and I saw the packaging, you know. We got one, and I got the packaging, and I saw a little piece of something in it. So I thought it was like one of these, yes. A pocket square meant for putting it there or something. So I opened it. When I opened it, I found out it was a mask. Yeah, now they're making the suits with a mask to go with it. Yes, and I've seen people's wedding photos where the bridal party all have identical masks. And so I said, well, that's how the world is running now. We just flow. But it shouldn't be that because of that we can't live or that we can't go to church. No. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must learn how to serve God in season and out of season, and it will bless us. Amen. Lift up your hand to the Lord and let's pray. Just say, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to have roots, Lord. I want to go deeper. Please. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your word of truth. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your love for me. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper to the place where you are. Draw me deeper and deeper, that I may know your heart. Sing it again. Draw me deeper, draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your word of truth. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your love for you. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper to the place where you are. Draw me deeper and deeper, that I may know your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe you're with us today, or you're watching the service or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart you're not saved. I want to give you an opportunity to be saved, to give your life to Jesus. Please join us and say this prayer with us. Just say, Lord Jesus. Everybody say it. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying.
I know I'm a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
me. Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper. Deeper,
draw me deeper,
Lord, deeper into
my love for you.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper to the place where you are.
Draw me deeper and deeper, that I
put your hands together for the Lord.